It's good to see you here this morning. Glad to be with you. We ask God's richest blessing upon the message this morning. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Be looking at verse 44 this morning. Two things concerning the church of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. The title of the message is The Unity of the Church. The Unity of the Church. Or Church Togetherness. Church Togetherness. He said in verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, in the day in which we live in such a luxurious time. We have such things as vehicles to travel great distances in short amounts of time. We have luxuries like nice buildings. This morning I was able to remember, by God's grace, to turn the heat up just a little bit. It was cold and comfortable now, I hope. But we have buildings and we have things like this. We are able to communicate very rapidly. We can send an email and instantly our messages are spread out just like that. We have phones and computers. We send these things over the radio and internet and have large amounts of tracts and books that we can read and millions of read. And they can read it all at one time. You don't even have to share the book. I got a stack of books I was sharing with someone. You know, while he was reading it, I couldn't. So, but now we're able to read all at the same time. Amazing what an age we live in. By these means, the gospel has been spread over large amounts of area at one time. We've had the gospel preached in places where even men aren't able to travel to. The gospel is being translated into different languages, even as we speak. Not all languages have the gospel. That would be amazing to some. But there is a work there in Papua New Guinea to where there are people that don't have the scriptures in their language. And there are some men who are translating that scriptures into that language still. But with all these great resources that we have been given, there's still no substitute for the church. None of these are the church. I have encountered many of what people call groups in our day. And what they do is they have their home, their family. They don't have a pastor. They don't have someone sent of God to preach the gospel to them. So what do? They grab a DVD or a CD and they put it in and they say, well, now we're a church because we have a DVD. Well, friends, that's no substitute for true fellowship. That's no substitute. One thing about a DVD is, if you don't like what he's saying, you can cut him off. Yep, I'm not going to listen to that guy anymore, and I've seen people do that. They say, well, I'm going to change pastors. Watch this. Push a button, they swap it in, they've changed pastors. Without moving, without even getting up and changing, just by the flick of a remote, they can change their pastor. Well, we live in such an age where people have substituted these methods and means for the local assembly of the saints of God. Remember, the source of all blessings from the Lord come from His church. You know, the only reason this world spins is because of you. You who believe. You who are believers in Christ, this world continues to spin and everything is working together for your good. God never gives me an explanation as to how it's going to work together for your good. But it is. It does. And it will work together for the good of the church. It is a great blessing, I believe, to hear of others' works. I love to hear of other work and labor in the gospel. I'm glad for it. I'm glad to hear of people who are committed to the labor of the gospel, the great work that God is doing in different places. But if you'll notice that the churches whose ministry is greatly used, you will find that church, that body, is faithful to that church. You will find them faithful to that local body. In other words, they're together. They're working together. They're laboring together. If the local church is to continue and the Word of God is to continue in a local capacity, in a place, to proclaim the gospel, then we too must be together. We must have unity. Unity of message. Unity of the Spirit. The bond of peace. We must have the love for one another. These things bring us and draw the church together. And by this, the work of God is used. He uses us to proclaim His gospel. Now we can have all the truth. We can have all knowledge. But if we are not together as believers in Christ, if we do not desire to see others come to hear the gospel in this place, the light will go out in this place. The light will go out in this place. You remember the church of Ephesus? How great were they? The Lord says, I know your works. I know your doctrine's good. I know that you have the truth. I know you hate the people I hate. But I have one thing against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Love for Christ is the breeding ground for love for each other. If we don't have love for Christ, we can't have love for each other. You can't love me unless you love Him first. Unless He is the object of your love and affection, you can't love me. And same is true, because we are sinners. The church will continue only if it is working together. I say this with all true love and sincerity. There are men of God called in my life who will be used long after they're dead. I can think of multiple men that God will, even after their death, their works will continue to be used. Which one of us have not heard of Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Which one of us have not read his sermons and how he's been dead for hundreds of years? And yet, here we are. We can still read what he has. His work had continued even after he had passed. But yet there are some men that God has called to preach that they will soon be forgotten. That's okay. There are some men who God calls to preach that you or I never heard of. They were called to preach to their people, to that general assembly they were given for that short period of time. And then after they were gone, no one even knew they existed. But Christ, He knew. That's all that mattered. They, men of God, do not seek fame, do not seek fortune. We do not seek to do anything but to serve God in our generation. To preach the gospel to whomsoever God gives us to preach. Now, to us who preach the gospel, we seek only to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, the apostle said, "We preach not ourselves." The scriptures are true that when a man is called to preach, he will not promote himself. This is not what we do. We do not promote ourselves. In Proverbs 18, verse 16, it says, "A man's gifts will make room for him." I'm so thankful for Brother Moose Parks, who was pastor here before I was. He weeded out all the things. He did such a great service to me, he probably doesn't even know. But he weeded out all those calls that used to come in. He had calls from the seminary, and they don't call us anymore because they'd finally got the point. But he kept receiving calls about men wanting to preach. They didn't want to come and hear the gospel. They didn't want to come and sit and have unity and fellowship with God's people. They had one purpose in mind. They wanted to practice. They wanted to practice, and they wanted to use his pulpit to practice in. And he told them time and time again, no, 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 no. When God gives a man a calling to preach, he don't have to worry about it. He'll open that door for him. And he will give that man an audience to preach and to hear. God gives gifts unto men to preach. And these gifts may vary. They may vary. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 10. The Apostle Paul, anticipating what others are writing about him, they said, For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That's what they thought of Paul. They said, oh, his letters are bold, but when you see him, he's just a little scrawny guy and he's weak. Let such an one think this and this, that such as we are in word by letter, we are when we are absent, such will we be indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Friends, I do not and must not compare myself with another man that is called to preach the gospel. That is so unwise. And it is unwise for you to compare me to someone else. It's unwise. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. We who preach do not and must not compare ourselves to other men. And this is a great temptation, is it not? Do you not? Are you not tempted? I am. I find my own speech contemptible. I don't listen to my messages. I do it for a purpose. I can't. I find my own speech contemptible. But we don't compare ourselves or measure our amount of faith by the gifts of the others, and so the church. Believers in Christ here at this local assembly, don't measure yourselves among other works, other labors of men. Don't envy the works and labors of other men. We are to dwell together in unity. We are to dwell together with what God has given us to do. We are to be busy about serving our Lord and Savior and not so concerned as to what others are doing. To compare men with men is just carnal. Paul says, you're carnal. If you compare me to Apollos, you're carnal. That's a carnal way of thinking. God keep us from such sin as to say, I'm of this man, or I prefer this man. But who are preachers? Who are we? We are servants. We preach not ourselves. We are servants of you, servants of God, for Jesus' sake. What do we preach that unifies the church? What unified this local church in our text? In Acts chapter 2, we read that it was the gospel message. It was the doctrine of Jesus Christ that caused these people to be in unity. Let me get back to my text. Look at this. In verse 41, and they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them 3,000 souls. Listen, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. You want to know how a church is unified? It is to continue to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be faithful. To continue in the doctrine that is given to you. To be faithful. What do? We preach Jesus Christ the Lord. All who are called to preach are given the same message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So many people love that song. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. And they'll sing it. And then some man will stand up and start talking about their family or about marriage and about this and about that. And anything but the story of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is what unifies us is the man Jesus Christ. The head of this body is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sum and substance of His message. We preach His person. That unifies us. He who is God blessed forever has also been made man so that He might be our kinsman redeemer. He is in union with us. He is a man. He knows what it is to be a man. We preach that He condescended to men of low estate. We preach Jesus, the God-man mediator. We preach Jesus Christ, who is prophet, priest, and king. We preach that He is the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And this brings us together because we are all sinners in need of mercy. Do you still need mercy? Because I still need mercy today. And the more I grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the more I see my need of mercy. And if I need mercy, and you need mercy, that draws us together around one object of mercy. Jesus Christ is the source of all mercies. Of all forgiveness of sin, of all righteousness. He brings us together. Why are we together this morning? Why are we here? To give praise unto God for His blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. We preach that salvation is of the Lord. We preach that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and He is Lord. A preacher once said this. He said, "You cannot have Jesus as your Savior if He is not also your Lord." A lot of people like Jesus to be their Savior. They just don't want Him bossing them around. They don't want to be told, "Oh, Lord, now You saved me. Just leave me alone. Leave my personal stuff alone. Now You're stepping on my toes. Don't know." If you don't have Jesus as Lord, you don't have Him as Savior. God's church is unified in this, is that we have one Lord, one Savior. And He rules us in every aspect of our life. We should be doing all things for His glory. If you sweep the floor, it should be for the glory of God. If you pick up the trash, it should be for the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, it should be unto the Lord. In everything. Everything should be unto Him. And this unifies us. Because that should be for me too. Everything I do should be as unto the Lord. We preach Jesus Christ the Lord. And the cause of our preaching this gospel is for your sakes. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ, and are your servants for Jesus' sake. We are your servants for Jesus' sake. Why? That you might believe. That you might believe. The Apostle John wrote in his book, in his epistle, his gospel. He said, many other things did the Lord Jesus Christ that if we were to write them, the volumes could not contain them. He said, but these were written that you might believe. Well, Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. We've already believed. Well, your faith that you had is no good. You need faith now. You need to believe on Christ now. Your past faith is worthless. Your future faith is worthless. You must believe on Christ now. And then we believe and we are together in faith. I believe now. And you who believe now, we're together. We're in union. And the body functions when we have faith. Believe now. Trust now in Christ. Our purpose is that men believe. Our purpose is that God's people be fed. Are you fed? Are you fed by the gospel? It is my heart's desire to bring the gospel in such a way as to prepare the best meal that I possibly can for you. Now, whether you have an appetite for it or not, I don't know. But we are called to do this so that we might have unity of the body. We are given the spiritual, given for spiritual growth, edification, stability, protection against the deceivers. We preach the gospel to the body so that it might increase. We are to nourish God's body by the sincere milk of the Word. Pray for me because I desire to preach sincerely to you. And not only with sincerity, but truth. I want both. I don't want to tell you the truth without first knowing it myself. You know, when I prepare a message, I preach to myself first. If I don't, how can I preach and expect you to receive it? Pastor is a gift to his people, to God's people, for the preaching of the gospel. A church is made to see our union with Christ and our union with each other. Every believer in Christ is part of the body of Christ, and he is our head. We are all chosen by the Father. We are all redeemed by the Son. We are all born again of the Spirit of God. We all have the same righteousness. Now, I know everybody thinks that Cook's righteousness is better than mine, but it's not. Cook, everybody thinks he's probably a better person than I am, but your righteousness is not better than mine. It's the same. We have the same righteousness. It is the righteousness of God. There's no excelling above one another in a church that is together. We don't go around promoting ourselves. What we do is we preach the gospel, and it draws us together. It draws us together. And we all being the same body, yet we all have different functions in the church. We all have different functions. The hand is not the foot. The foot is not the mouth. We all have different gifts. And having different gifts, we are to use them for the furtherance of the gospel in this place. What place? Wherever you are. Because wherever you are during the week, I'm not. Isn't that right? I'm not with you all the time. But wherever you are, you should be using whatever God gifts God has given you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. For whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now are you the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now I looked up this word particular. It means allotted. Each one of you who are a member of the body of Christ, you are allotted a place. I'm sure that my fingers did not choose to be fingers. They were allotted their place. You who are members of this body are allotted your place. In particular, God specifically has designed you for that place in the body. Allotted you your gifts. Believers, this ministry does not belong to me. It belongs to us. If you think that I am the only one that should be witnessing of Christ, something is wrong with this body. This is our ministry. This is our church. And we have been given a place. Use what God has given you. How are we to witness the gospel in this place if we ourselves are not faithful to this place? Do you expect that others are going to just one day pop up and say, you know what, I really like to go to church with you? it just sounds good. I think I'm just going to get up and go to the next door neighbor and I'm just going to say, hey, I want to go to church with you. How many times has that been done? If done, it's very rare. If it's ever been done, it's rare. We must be witnesses. Witnesses. Believers who are faithful to the body and to the ministry of the gospel are beautiful to their pastor. Have I been faithful to you? Believe me, I ask myself that question more than you do. Have I been faithful to you to preach the gospel to you? Then follow me. And we'll go together. We'll be together. And we'll work together for the sake of the gospel. I'm going to use the illustration in Scripture, the demoniac of Gadara. You remember how this man, he was out in the tombs cutting himself, wild man, lost his mind. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could chain him. He had a legion of demons in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ delivered him from that. He had cast out that legion of demons, and they had ran with the swine down the hill. And then the people heard about it, and they came out to see what had happened. And they saw this man who had lost his mind, this man who chains couldn't hold. He was sitting, the Scripture says, clothed and in his right mind. You would think that people would have said, man, wow. Instead, they said, whoa, depart from us. We don't want you even in our coasts. And Jesus gladly got on the ship. You know what was that man did? He got up and he was following right as close as he could behind the Lord, ready to get on the ship to go with Him. Wouldn't you think that'd be the best thing? Wouldn't you have wanted to go with the Lord? I would have. Lord said something to him. He said, go home. Go home and tell your friends what great things God has done for you. I imagine that pierced his heart. I imagine it broke it. Why would you want me not to go with you? I don't understand. But in obedience, he went back home. And who knows the multitudes of people that the Lord converted under his ministry. I don't know. Believer, if we are to dwell together in unity, it's not just in this one building. We must take the message we hear from this place and take it outside the door and go home and tell what great things God has done for you. Will you be ridiculed? Yes. Will you be hated, rejected, shunned? Yes. Oh, but what about one? What if one would come in here? Would that not be worth it all? I like when David said, come with me and let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us go. Go home. The gospel is preached here in this place. Go home and tell your friends that the gospel is preached here. Go home. Witness. Tell how great things the gospel of Jesus Christ has done of you, done for you. Believers, let us as a local body not boast outside our measure. We're not here to boast of the labors of others. We're here to just simply boast of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not to rely on other men's labors either. Because the labor of the gospel is successful in one place, we're not to rely on their success. God has given them their success. Pray that God give us success. Pray that God give us unity like that. And we together must labor as God has given us our portion. Now, we may have a small portion. Well, that's okay. Don't despise the day of small things. The Lord has given us this ministry. Should we not labor together in this ministry? We should. If the light is going to continue in this place, we must labor together. And secondly, we must have all things common. These people sold all they had because the church was in such impoverished condition. But this teaches us something. That we must support the ministry. If the gospel is going to go forth, we must support the ministry. How? Whatever God gives you to do. Believers must give, not just monetarily. Matter of fact, that's the easiest thing to do, isn't it? It's easy to put that in, but also our time, our love, our effort, our life. Our life. What are we here for? Believer, listen to me. I don't want to play church. I'm not playing. This is for keeps. I'll be here until the Lord takes me home or He takes every one of you away from me. I'm dedicated my life to this ministry. And if I'm the only one, shame on us. Shame on us. As I've committed myself to this ministry, so should you. The Lord doesn't request it, He demands it. If any man hate not his father and his mother and his sister and his brother and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Friends, this is all or nothing principle here. You're either all in or you're not in at all. God's people are all in. We're all in. Praise God. What joy it is when brethren dwell together in unity. When we center ourselves around the Lord Jesus Christ and His service, God will use and bless our labors. Don't think so small of what God has given you. And don't envy what some large thing God has given someone else. Do what God has given you to do. Be content. Are you content? Am I content with such things as I have? May God give us grace to do that so that we might be together. I want to be content with you. I want to labor with you. I want to serve with you. I love you. You are my family. You are my friends. May God give us grace to grow closer together. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer.